In today's episode, Mike argues with customer support, I complain about Arcade 1-Up, and it's a pirate's life for Samantha. This is episode 55.
Get it on.
All right. Just open up the floor one more time. Was that a cigarette?
It's fake.
I thought it was. I was like, wait,
is
did
that
you take
the
up a...
acting prop where it actually blows?
No, I thought it was. Well, Skid has them for his one character, but no, it doesn't. The stuff doesn't come out. It's just like shiny
like the
red.
Chalk.
I thought you had taken up an interesting new hobby or something.
You probably could use, like, baby powder or something that you put on the end of it. That way, when you blow it out, it...
I don't think the sneezing would help, but... All right. Okay, just open up the floor. Anything else we think we got to talk about before we get started here?
Nah.
Nerp.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess we'll welcome everyone to Funsphere Game Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
I am Majashtha.
Oh.
I have absorbed all three personalities.
And become the ultimate podcast host / video game enjoyer. With our powers combined, you are Captain Video Game.
No, that's not. That wasn't his name. What was it? It was
Captain Planet.
No. Was it Captain N?
Captain N, the Game Master. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, that's a different thing.
Maybe that was. Ooh, that's some Saturday morning flashbacks I'm having now.
It's Saturday evening.
It is now. Yes, you're correct.
It's too late for cartoons, Josh. Move on.
Yeah, it's time to watch Dateline.
So, well, since it is too late for cartoons, how about we talk about some video games? Does that sound like a good idea to everybody?
I guess.
I got news for you.
You do? Well, I'll tell you what. Since our last episode, like when I remember doing the editing and reviewing, like, poor Samantha, she luckily came on at like the last minute and said, oh, I didn't play anything. So she had nothing to talk
this
about.
This week.
Yeah. Why don't you start us off, Samantha? Tell us what you've been playing.
Oh, okay. Last night, finally, after months, longtime listeners will know, after months of wondering and searching, Googling the title of this game, I have finally purchased Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Hey, we got that too.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. I did download it. I didn't start it though.
I bought the middle tier edition.
Okay.
I don't think it runs the best on the Switch, but it does have cloud saving. So I think if I wanted to put it on PlayStation,
it would run better. On the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I got it on that for the mobility.
Angela wants it on the Switch, and I told her that it wasn't available.
Wow, you're
a liar. I was like, yeah, it's just on the Xbox.
You're a filthy
liar,
Mike.
It's on everything.
I assume. Well, jeez. All right. Well, how much was it?
Well, there's a $30 one, a $50 one, and like a $70 one. I got the $50 one because I knew I was gonna play $50 at least worth of this game.
Yeah, she's enjoyed it, and that's been an issue. Is it's only accessible from our one television.
You should just get it on Switch. Enable the cloud save, and then get it on Switch. And I'm pretty sure that means she can just get her progress.
Ooh.
I think.
I was also gonna say just a real quick aside before Samantha gets more into it. Mike, have you tried the streaming to iPhone from Xbox yet?
I did. It's cool. I it's one of those features, it just like the controller. I remember when they made it to where you could use your phone as the Xbox controller, I was like, this is cool as shit, and I've never used it.
Yep, I'm the
same. It's I mean, it's opening the app versus just grabbing the remote. Or just like Siri. I still have not adopted any kind of voice activated. I know that I could do it faster telling Siri to turn on the lights versus going into the light app, but I just, I don't know. I just think I'm a crotchety old man that way.
Siri never understands anybody.
No, I've had real hit or miss things with Siri, to be quite honest. All right, so back to it. Samantha, tell us more about the game.
Well, I don't know how far Angela has gotten, but I only started playing it last night.
She's farther than you.
Yeah, I played most of today. But I like it. It's kind of like the frame rate drops a lot on the Switch, and I think it's because it is the Switch.
Yeah.
But the mobility makes it worth it, in my opinion. It's a decent trade-off. Stardew.
I can't even remember if we talked about this or not, but did you guys try the Switch version of Fall Guys?
I've never played Fall Guys.
I remember you told us that it was pretty rough. That's the only, I never tried it myself, but you did not have a glowing review.
I mean, your character moves fine, but you're playing a game where it's like a bunch of people online, and the way that they get it to even work on the Switch is every other character, their frame rate is like 2.
Oh.
It's 2 actions, and they just like skitter across the board. So like kind of movement is not clear that they're making. Yeah. It's horrendous.
Overwatch on Switch is, I mean, I don't know how people are playing it. I don't know how they're able to. It is unplayable for me. And it's capped at like 30 frames.
Ooh.
I wish they would. Weird.
I get it. They want to make fun games, but we're getting to a point where like everybody's trying to play on everything, so you have to compete hardware wise.
Yeah.
Well, and I hate to be that guy, but the Switch is getting kind of old.
No, it's not.
It came out in 2017. That's
5 years is still
5 years,
especially with as much of a difference as console generations are making these days.
Yeah, and I'm saying, and that, but when it came out, it wasn't like it was bleeding edge console tech. It was already behind.
It wasn't.
It's not a powerhouse.
No.
So
but they've
I'm
been
not...
intentionally doing that since the Wii.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
They need to get over that. They need to stop making that, oh, we put gameplay first and we want to make it affordable, so we're never going to crank hardware. Just do what everybody else does and make different versions.
Yes, I would say that. And I was also, because I'm thinking about that, I saw the announcement that No Man's Sky is coming to the Switch. And
those poor bastards, they've already cranked, like, what, 4 years in that game trying to make it? Which, it's insane how much people's opinion of that game has changed.
Skid's brother-in-law is the number one No Man's Sky fanboy.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember convincing Jeffrey to buy it because it was only out on the PlayStation at first. And he spent all of his money on it, and then it was terrible. And I watched him play it, and I was like, I don't want to play it anymore.
I the only reason I brought that up and the Switch up is because I was like, man, that is, my first thought was that's going to run like trash on that. It is just going to be unbearable to watch. And like my criticism is just, it doesn't have the horses for these modern games. So like the more and more get brought to it, like I think it actually reflects poorly on the Switch or, you know, the choice of certain publishers to bring these games to it. But we keep it running, Samantha. Please tell us like what you think of the game and things like that.
Well, yeah, I think it would probably run better on Xbox or PlayStation for sure. but it's not unplayable at all.
Okay.
It's just normal. It is. I was laughing about how much it's like Stardew because it starts off almost the exact same way, except your grandpa's not dead. But I do like that you can be sassy at these characters, also the Disney characters. I really offended Mickey by telling him that crackers and fruit salad is like stupid.
That's as far as I've gotten. Is I found Mickey's house.
Okay, so look. So can you explain the game to me? Is it more like
it just an it, Animal Crossing? It seems. I thought it seemed more like Animal Crossing.
It is like okay. I think it's like Animal Crossing in the like. I don't know, the 3D-ness of it, but it reminds me of Stardew with like, you have to upgrade your bag, and then the like heart system for like friendship and stuff.
Okay.
And the gift giving to get a better relationship. I don't know. I think the fact that you can see the meter reminded me more of Stardew than Animal Crossing, because I know you can get a better relationship with your villagers, but also like.
Well, there's from what I read, I haven't experienced it, so I don't know if this is actually the case, but there's like a big gaming proponent of like you find all these Disney characters throughout the game, and a lot of work is put into convincing them to move to your area, and that part kind of reminded me of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah. Like maybe I just got
way more involved in that system though.
It's okay. It's kind of like a quest. Like Moana was like, I can't come to your valley because I have to go fishing. So you just go fishing with her, and then she comes. And then you have to build her a house on the beach, and then she'll come to it.
Okay, I can see that. But you can like pick and choose which characters that you want to invite, and leave the other ones alone, or is it like
I don't know
structured.
It seems like there's a lot of doors in that castle. I don't know if you have to invite all of them to progress, or if it's just like as you please. But okay. I'm not that far yet. I really like it so far. I think like mechanically it reminds me more of Stardew, but it's also a lot of Animal Crossing too.
Okay. Gotcha.
But like the crops grow almost instantly.
That's yeah, nice. That part made me think just like mobile yeah. games.
And the energy bar. At first, I was worried. I was like, "Oh man, when's this gonna run out?" But no, it's like that. Also reminds me of Stardew, because like as you level up, it gets more, and you don't pass out after mining two rocks.
Oh, have you? We talked about this too. I think. Have you played a Harvest Moon yet?
I haven't. I saw there's a new one coming out, so I'm thinking about it.
No, the one they just announced was the one that was on GameCube, which that was the game that made me swear off Harvest Moon.
Oh, forever. Is that the one that made Stardew Valley happen?
I was going to say, I think that was also the one that was the genesis of Stardew.
Was it that one?
I don't know.
A Wonderful Life? Was
his response to it. Yeah, I think so.
It was on the GameCube, and oh my god, because the one on the 64 was really good, but even that one, like, it's bizarre how little energy you have to actually do everything, and the time, you barely have enough time to do everything, too. But it's, you should try the one on the 64.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I'm getting more into these things. Also Disney. I think the interface is kind of clunky.
Okay.
It might be the switch, the menu's slow.
Could be. I was going to say, it's kind of rare for Disney to put out a game with all their characters in it. I mean, a long time ago, they used to have a pretty solid, back on the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, PlayStation. They had a pretty good assortment of games, and then when they tried to go internal, like I remember Epic Mickey kind of like soured them on doing any other video games from that point.
Oh no. To me,
except I mean go ahead. I was going to say, except Kingdom Hearts, but even then that had like a 20-year gap between sequels.
This to me feels like the final form of, I know they had some, like, it might be a mobile game. They had some like Disney Parks game where you, that where everybody was around. So if this feels like that mixed with, Disney Magical World that was on, there was two of them and I loved them. They were on the 3DS.
Okay.
And well, there was another one that was not too long ago, right? What was it? Like Disneyland Adventures or...
I think that's what I was thinking of. Like, because all the characters were out, right?
Mm. But they were like... But that was like a virtual tour game,
that's on the Game Pass, too.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think that's it. I think it's that.
There's something.
So this game feels like the natural next step. Like, those other games were preparing for this game.
Oh, okay.
Because in that one, all you could really decorate was your cafe.
Mm.
And then you would go out into dungeons or whatever to, like, progress the storyline, but also just to get materials for your cafe and to make outfits. And then the whole point was to attract the Disney characters to your cafe.
Okay. Got it. All right. Well, Mike, what about you? What do you got to... tell us about this time.
So my summer nothing to play lull has finally ended.
Okay.
With a game that I've actually owned for over a year but never actually put the time into it until I was sick last week and started playing Lego City Undercover. And oh my god, it's Grand Theft Auto with Legos. It's awesome. I have never enjoyed the Lego games. Like, I get why they were really popular, but every one that I played, I just... It's got to be a really special platformer for me to stay engaged through the end of the game. And this was one, like, the way that they made it, like, drop in, drop out, up to four people, and you're running around. It's just, I don't know. They were enjoyable for like half a level and then that was it. But this, like, giving it a sandbox mechanic is exactly what that formula needed.
Okay. I mean, for me, like, the Lego games always seem to be like games with gold fodder, so I've never tried it.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean,
oh no, go on.
I was going to say, and they also just had like, and there were so many of them with, like, licensed versions. Like, there were Harry Potter ones and, like, Marvel Star superheroes Wars, and DC superheroes and...
Star
what
Wars.
Was the other? Star Wars, yeah, and stuff like that. Even though I know a lot of people like those games, I was just like, I mean, I never saw them as worth giving any effort or time to. So it's cool to hear that you gave one. And
that's,
it turned
oh, my
out
God.
To be really fun.
Yeah, I mean... Well, and it's bizarre, one, because how many Grand Theft Auto clones have we played through the years? And it's like nothing ever comes close to Rockstar's formula. Like, there's always something that's off, like the driving mechanic or the way your character moves, or it's just, I don't know. But this, within the confines of it being a Lego game, it's still, everything moves weirdly smooth, considering this game originally came out on the Wii U.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't this a fairly older game?
Yeah, it was 2013. And again, all of this I'm just learning for the first time. Like, I had seen it in passing, like on the shop channel and everything, but never knew too much about the actual production. I think this was the first one that they did legit voice acting.
Okay.
Whereas before, Mean Lego. All of them were just, like, miming. So all of the humor was just through, like, expression and everything.
Okay.
Physical
but this,
comedy.
Yeah, I mean, this is... You guys have seen the Lego movies, though, right?
Of
I saw the
course.
First one.
Yeah, so this has the same style of humor. It's very parody-driven. And since it's, like, essentially a Grand Theft Auto, like, your character is an undercover cop, but almost immediately you start doing more crimes than policing.
So and you're just a normal cop.
Yeah. But they're like, just the way that they have to make the mechanics work to fit the confines of the story is really funny. Like, you can still steal anyone's car and they just give like a sorry police emergency dialogue. Like, the way that they're able to communicate all these things you're doing is, it's funny in and of itself. And like, if you run into just like some stranger's car too much, the explosions are way over the top. And it always gets me to giggle.
So I'm gonna ask two questions here.
Okay.
One's for Samantha. Okay. So Samantha, well, Mike mentioned how many.
Everybody gets one question.
I have one for you each. Samantha, you mentioned like when Mike said we played so many GTA clones. You said zero. Have you played GTAs or any of those games?
No.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I think I know what we're playing next.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've watched Skid play 5. That's one that's... Yeah. And basically, he was like, watch this. And he put a ring of gasoline around his SUV and then lit it on fire and got in the car and sat there. And the car caught on fire.
All right.
That's
so
dark.
That's interesting. And this was where I was going to pivot to Mike on this. So, Mike, you mentioned that we played so many clones and that none of them quite get it right. And I wholeheartedly agree with that comment. My next question, I guess, would be for you. Which one do you think got it the closest? We'll remove the Lego one you're talking about. Which
Alan
one do you think
Wake.
Got it closest?
No,
it's not a clone.
It's not. Well, and it's weird because it did start out as an open world game, but then they made it. They made it level
Alan
based.
Wake. Yeah.
I see that kitty.
Yeah. So,
God, as far as closest, I don't know, because,
That's Diane.
I did enjoy this, what we were talking about last time, the Mafia.
Okay.
The definitive one, but it's still, like, all of those, or at least the first two Mafia games, they, like, de-incentivize exploring the world, because everything, like, they start you on a mission, so even though you can go wherever you want in the city... Like, you have to actively ignore
other issues. Okay.
Yeah, like, the story to do so. Whereas, like, Grand Theft Auto, the story is, like, it's up to you to go continue the story. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But, like, Mafia, they'll be, like, they just start you out, and it's like, holy shit, our partner just got shot. We gotta go help him.
Yeah.
And you can go drive around anywhere in the city, but why are you going to do that with this, like, heavy initiative dropped on your lap? And you have to keep ignoring, like, the prompts that, like, go save your partner. Go save your partner.
Yeah. So that was actually, that was going to be my pick, too, was Mafia 3. But then when you were talking about, like, there's always something off, like the driving's off or something like that, my immediate thought went to that game crashed all the time for me, so it's like it didn't even have the polish to run. And I've played like other ones like Sleeping Dogs and
Watch Dogs.
Oh man, remember when Watch Dogs was hyped to be like the GTA killer, and then it most certainly was not.
And I ended up, I think that I don't know if I was just starved for that kind of experience. But I think I was a little more forgiving than a lot of people were with that first one. I got the second one, and I don't know if I just had a hard time with it or what. Like, I kept having to do this one mission early on in the game that I could not get past. So the difficulty was But not like it was hard. It was just very unforgiving in an unfair way.
It was also kind of tedious. That was my, I got both of those too. And I remember like trying to be hype for Watch Dogs, and I didn't get into the whole like controversy of they had to scale back the graphics and whatnot, and people were so upset about that.
Yeah, but Grand Theft Auto 4 had to scale back graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go back and look at the original trailer and what the game turned out to be, like the more you add into the game, you have to start cutting.
I just remember with both of those, I just got bored. And that was the like the death knell for both of those games. Yeah. It's like, this is just, it's tedious. Like, unlike Grand Theft Auto, where you have some missions that aren't that necessarily that fun, you have something, you know, that's going to be fun afterwards, that, you know, you're just completing this mission to unlock the next set.
Well, yeah, they have a really great way of weaving in variety throughout the mission. So you're always doing something new, and like each game has its own kind of mechanics that they're trying to implement, kind of the same way that Nintendo does that with their sequels, where like, hey, it's Zelda the Minish Cap. The whole time you're playing, you're shrinking down. So they'll have stuff like that that they throw in too, but it's never like, hey, you're going to be in races for the next 8 hours.
No.
I will... Since we're talking about it, I can definitely tell you the worst attempt at a GTA clone.
Okay. Which one do you think that is?
Driver 3. Or was it Driver 2? I don't even remember. The whole Driver series in general was hot garbage.
I don't think I ever played any of them.
They weren't great. Actually, the first one I didn't mind, but I can't remember. Was it 3 that came out on like the 360? Because the original came out on the PlayStation.
Yeah. Now, did they also like try to get like licensed celebrities into those games? Am I thinking of The Rock was in the third one? Or am I thinking of the Spy?
I remember I was visiting Robert in Pensacola, and he had gotten the game and we played it. And, like, he tried, there were a bunch of hedges in, like, the median of this major highway, and he tried cutting through, and it just slammed his car. Like, if you can't drive through a hedge going at full speed in a car.
No. No fun.
No. I can't remember the name of that game that we all played, but I was going to make a joke about that being
one. Oh, Deadly Premonition?
Yes.
It had an element of open world.
It certainly
did. And driving.
Oh, it had something to do with driving, or what they called driving, for sure. All right, Mike, you got any other info about Lego we should talk about, or any other games you played?
Just
do you notice
that
how
I used
the word
play?
I was going to say, do you notice how I said Lego and not Legos? Because I don't want to throw Mike into a rage.
Do you got multiple Legos?
I mean, I still do it too. I know that it's not the correct way, but it's one of those things that you learn wrong so early on that there's just no fixing it.
No,
it's ingrained.
You mean in another universe? Is Legos, and now it's Lego in this one.
Yes.
All right. Well, I am glad to say that I too have broken out of my, nothing to play summer lull.
It's September. It's fall now.
It is. It is officially fall now. And funny enough, you know, Samantha was talking about Disney characters, and Mike was talking about Lego. And I'm going to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Great.
So,
again!
It's not too late for cartoons.
It's not, no.
It is too late for that cartoon.
I'm going to say, yes, it is again, because the other half of the Summer of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games came in. The collection of all the classic arcade games, Nintendo games.
Didn't we talk about this last month, though?
No,
he
were talking
pre-ordered it.
I pre-ordered it and it hadn't come in yet. So it came in, and I gotta say, this is a very, like, made with love type collection. It's great to see all these games and not just, like, kind of sloppy ports. Like, these are really good. I never needed, like, six versions of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters, but now I have them at my hand. And it's great to play these. But I also had another game that I played, again, to kind of do a nostalgia thing.
Wait, before you jump from Turtles, I do have one quick Turtle story. I always remember as a kid thinking, like, holy shit, the first Turtles game, even though I enjoyed it, it had to be such a janky, the way that it came about, because even on the cover, they're all wearing red. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I learned that the original comic, they all
I was going to bring that up. Yes, that's based because that is a classic. I think that's issue six or seven's.
Cover. It's the cover.
Yeah, what they used. On the original game. Yes.
Well, and it makes perfect sense now, but I mean, the fact that they use that as the cover of the game, but then the game itself still differentiates colors.
That's because it came out in that weird time of, like, the show was just getting started when that game came out. So they didn't really have a lot of, like, we'll just call it, like, copy to come up with a cover for it. So they're like, let's just use the source material. I love that cover. For that game, I think that's cool. I'd get a full size like poster of that.
It's cool. Again, as a kid, my issue was, why don't they have different colored bandanas?
My issue was, this game is hard as crap.
Oh yeah,
and it still is to this day.
So do they have save states in?
Yes,
this
they
new
do.
Version?
They have save states.
Do they work faster than the Switch's save states? Thank
they do.
God.
I think you can even like. You can kind of, like, I think it even has a rewind function, so that's really
well. The Switch has the rewind too.
Yeah,
but still, like, that's my favorite part of the Raspberry Pi is, like, your save and your reload is split second. So whenever you get to, like, shitty old Nintendo games that are impossible as hell that you're trying to actually barrel through,
yeah,
That's a game changer.
It is. It certainly is. So like I said, that's a good one. I've thoroughly enjoyed that collection. And I went back and, like, it came out very early, or late spring, early summer, was the re-release of Chrono Cross. The HD upscaled version. I've been playing that as well. That is an interesting game because I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm not going to, like, ever say that Chrono Trigger is, you know, it's better than Chrono Trigger because it's not. But it is fun to kind of go back and play an old RPG that you really had a fond time playing. Because, you know, that was a PlayStation 1 game, and they've done a pretty good job of moving it forward. Like, you can switch back. One thing I really love on most of these modern collections is the ability to, like, manipulate, and I know it's not a new thing, but, like, to manipulate the view of the game. Like, you can move it back to the original format, you can use the new format, you can you know, the best thing they've got on the Chrono Cross thing is the ability to speed up the battles.
About that in 12. Oh my god.
It's great.
You could do it in 7 and 8 too.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure it was actually like a new game plus option on the original game, but to have it from the beginning on this game makes such a huge difference. Like, you can literally, I think I'll say I played it for probably 5 hours and I probably trimmed out another 5 hours just by having it on fast forwarding some of the battles. And so it's funny because, like I said, I've been on a real nostalgia kick because you know, playing all the old Turtle, specifically the arcade games and stuff like that, always gets me in a a mindset to go revisit some arcade games and stuff like that. The biggest disappointment I've had recently, though, I'll have to say this, is the fact that Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was announced. Oh, it's coming back via Arcade 1-Up. Have you guys, you've seen these things, right?
How they're, like, miniaturized?
Yes. And how they are, like, buying exclusive rights to certain games.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, it's still, I think it would, I don't know. I don't see it being a terrible.
You
want like a 1-to-1 ratio arcade cabinet. Now you're concerned that it's never going to happen. Is that the issue?
That my biggest concern with them, and I'll give this little spiel, is yes, the biggest thing is actually the 1-to-1 size. These things are,
they're fucking design, tiny.
They're small. They have, if you want them to be more than like 3.5 feet tall, you have to buy
a riser.
A riser for $200.
And they just look tacky. I think it's bizarre that they haven't, again, just like we were talking about earlier with the Switch, like, just offer different plans, just like car manufacturers do. Like, you have a low tier, a mid tier, and a high tier. It's fine.
Yes.
Sell your 1-to-1 BMW, whatever, is like a top tier car. I don't know.
But no, like, also, they kind of use cheap parts on these things, so that they don't really last all that long. But as, like, I get it from their standpoint, it would cost them a lot more money to make a console or make a stand that big. It would be hard to get them delivered to people's houses and in people's houses and stuff like that, especially when they do like the big four player cabinets for games like Turtles. They had a couple of years ago
that
they
Wasp had the game. Simpsons.
I think they had Killer Queen. No, that was Killer Queen, I think, did their own cabinets. They didn't go out to Arcade 1-Up. But I was thinking about like how they license and keep certain games.
Yeah, they kickstarted, didn't they?
Killer, are you talking about Arcade 1-Up or?
No, Killer Queen. It was a brand new idea that started with Kickstarter.
It was a brand new idea, if I recall correctly. But Arcade 1-Up locks up so many games, I think, that would benefit from coming out on collections, and I think they sometimes stop these games from coming out on collections because of their contracts. Like, Mike, you might remember a couple years ago on the Xbox 360, the Simpsons game was listed on the arcade, and you could get it. Okay, well, it was. And then it got delisted again. Same thing with, that's why Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is not available on anything. It's some licensing rights and stuff like that are causing the trouble. Same thing with like games like the original X-Men arcade game, which I love, and stuff like that. And like when I see these Arcade 1-Up machines getting made with Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which people have been clamoring to have modernized, not necessarily modernized, but just release it back on consoles so we can play online like we used to and stuff like that. I hate seeing them just, hey, we understand everybody wants this game back, and we've made an exclusive contract with this company to sell this game to you for $499 and then $199 to have it stand 5 feet tall.
They look big, but I guess it's a lie.
It is a lie.
Yeah, they're small.
They are very small.
Actually, while we're talking about weird licensing things and tying it back to Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
There's another thing that I notice happens. I don't know how frequently. I've just run into this issue once, but it was maddening nonetheless, and it escalated quite a bit. So Chinatown Wars, the Grand Theft Auto that came out on the DS. Maybe like a decade ago, they put it out on the iPhone.
Okay.
Or iOS. And I remember paying like $15 for it. And so it's like always been available. They, but then randomly they pull that version off instead of like continuing to update the game.
Mm-hmm.
Rockstar removed that version, said that you can't buy it anymore, but if you own it, you should still be able to upgrade to this brand new listing of the same fucking game. Nothing has changed. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't add anything. It's the same fucking game. They just created a new listing that kind of forced everybody to... And, well, they... I think they were saying that it, in the weird transitional period of, like, stuff living on the iPhone and then having HD versions that were for the iPad only, and now that everything is universal...
Between
that
the two.
Was the Switch, but yeah. It still, they had two different apps, so it shouldn't have done anything. But they, so I had this inkling like a year or two ago to go back and play it, couldn't access it.
Yep.
Read that you, as long as I have it in my purchase history, I should still be able to upgrade to the new version. Wouldn't let me upgrade to the new version, and just got into it with Rockstar's support and had to go through 4 tiers of customer service people who, after, like, I spent maybe a month going back and forth with these assholes, and still they didn't help me.
Well, I was going to say, and after all that,
It was cheaper. It was cheaper than I initially paid for it. But the fact that I had already paid more than double than what they were asking, like, and that I shouldn't have to pay anything. So I kept telling them, like, just give me the game. I have proven that I own it. It won't let me upgrade it in the way that your directions have said. Just give me the fucking download. And they're like, we can't do it. We can't do it.
Well, I was going to say Rockstar is very notorious for that. They did the same thing with before they put out that definitive collection.
They pulled the other versions off.
And they pulled it, of course, for like... That is always something that we've... It's so weird. We have so much more stuff available to us, but then we also have these weird instances of things... you think would be available being completely unavailable or like so limited release windows and stuff like that. Just to like give you an example, you know, GTA pulled their original copies of their games before they released their definitive edition. All the games I'm talking about on Arcade 1-Up were once available on the Xbox arcade system, you know, Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. Now you can't get them.
That is a scary thing about like moving to an all digital world. Suddenly you empower companies to rewrite history, because there are a ton of games that I've downloaded that are just not available anymore.
No, and of course, you know, we always have trouble with Nintendo, which are always like, hey, there's a huge demand for this game. Yeah, that's nice. We don't care.
Well, I mean, that's different, though. I'm talking about, like, paying for something that you just can't use anymore. Whereas, like, unless it was wear and tear, if you paid for something physically, you always have that. That's an issue in the music community, too.
Well, it's even an issue on, like, television shows and stuff like that. This has always been a big debate between my brother and I about physical versus digital. He is a pure physical person. He's like, I always want to be able to play that game. And I was like, well, you know, there could be problems with trying to get a physical copy. Your physical copy can break down, like you just mentioned. You know, if there's not a lot of printing of the particular game or something like that, you can't necessarily get a physical copy, or, you know, you have to go through a third party like GameStop where you might have to pay an exorbitant amount for it. But he can also point out the same issues that I've had. Where, for me, I have my PlayStation 5 is a digital version, and I've always tended to buy more PlayStation stuff digitally. But I actually kind of have my Xbox as a backup, and there have been times where I will, for example, I'll give you the Shredder's Revenge. You know, I played it digitally on Xbox, but I also bought a copy from Limited Run Games just because I always wanted it.
Did you get the Mega?
Yeah, I did.
Collection?
Yeah, I did. 100%. Nice. but I'm also have to wait like 6 months for that thing to actually become available. so it's, and I'll give you another example. Even with all like the media, I don't want to call it like a consolidation, I guess. Certain shows and stuff like that are not immune to being edited, I'll say. Or because of licensed music and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're talking about like the we've touched on this before, but the Simpsons taking episodes away.
I'm thinking about the music on shows like Scrubs, the Wonder State. Years, The State.
Wasn't available for forever because they had to change out all the music in the sketches. Yeah.
And so it's funny, like I'm very much like digital
Freaks and Geeks.
Yep. Oh. I'm very much digital on games, but like for TV shows and stuff like that, I almost tend to side with I'd rather buy a physical copy.
God, that's another nightmare on its own, though, because I think about like I haven't bought any physical media for like shows or movies in God, I can't remember how long.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, and it's because I have piles and piles of DVDs that you go back and watch, and the quality is garbage.
It's hard to get. And that's another thing that's like so many things are stuck on DVD that didn't get the chance to go to Blu-ray, even if it won't necessarily make that much of a difference.
Yeah, but I don't know, like... You can easily go, well, outside of what, maybe a couple of NES games, but you can go back in any back catalog of your physical games and they're completely unchanged. Like it's the fully realized version of what you have, but with DVDs, it's like every modern piece of like any modern television. It's like they're making a point to make it look worse than it originally looked.
Yeah. Well, PlayStation 2 games look pretty bad on an HD TV.
They do.
Yeah, CRT TVs, I guess, is a different. But still, like, why haven't we gotten to a point where our smart televisions are smart enough to recognize the media that we're doing and have, like, filters in place that mimic
well that's the good thing
the
that
media
games,
that you're looking
that's
at
why this thing game? Costs $80.
I was gonna say, well, that's the good thing, games actually take that little bit of extra effort because
yeah, with the collectors,
yeah, you can put a you know, a CRT filter on some games and stuff like that. And that's, I'm also just of course a big fan of collecting these games just for like you know, preservance of media, because just like I was talking about in some of these shows and movies, even with all of the world of streaming that we have, and there's so much stuff available to us, every now and then you're going to find that thing that you're like, oh, I remember this older movie or older TV show. I want to check it out. And it just will flat out not be available.
Like the Brave Little Toaster from before.
Mm-hmm. That and some of these investments are better than investing in gold.
Invest in nostalgia. You know, pirating certain shows has become like a preservation technique. Because I know HBO Max is removing a ton of their cartoons. So
they
like
sure are.
Infinity Train, no. You can't watch it anymore. And what? Or like Disney is off HBO Max. It's not uploaded anywhere. The creator is very upset. So like he's encouraging people to pirate it so that people are able to watch it.
HBO did that for years with Life and Times of Tim. Yeah. Like it just wasn't available anywhere. They finally brought it back for that new show, but I wonder how much longer it'll be on there.
Yeah, you should pirate it if you can. and then, Motor City, that cartoon I like from Disney, they are holding on to the rights, but it's not anywhere. It's not on Disney Plus. The only reason I have it is because I bought it all on iTunes when it was still, kind of being, reruns were kind of being played. Otherwise, okay. They're not letting anybody touch it, but they're also not doing anything with it.
That's just so weird to
me. That's the Nintendo move right there.
Yes.
So pirate it.
There's tons of demand, but we're not going to do anything about it.
They won't provide it. Steal it.
I hate to say it. I'm very much of that mindset for certain things. I'm like...
Piracy is a service problem.
It is. It is. That is just a response. Like I said, if it was, you had every movie available in its original format, it hadn't been edited, hadn't been screwed with for $5, you'd never see these pirated. Well, you would, but you would have a lot less issues with pirating and stuff like that.
Since I started working regularly, since Spotify also, and since mainly I would pirate cartoons because it was impossible to find old ones. But now they're everywhere, except for I still can't find the Beetlejuice cartoon anywhere that's not garbage.
it's the constant struggle, I guess, of we always want to have. We're gotten so accustomed to having this stuff available to us now. It's like,
when they take it away, it's almost like a challenge.
Yes, it
kicks in like, oh no,
oh no, you didn't.
People want what they can't have.
That's marketing 101. How do you make somebody want something? Tell them they can't.
Yeah, but what doesn't the nonsensical thing is. You would think if Nintendo, in the instance of Nintendo not making their classic games available, you'd think that they would be investing heavily in the secondhand market.
Yeah.
So that they'd be leveraging their money that way. But no, this is just there can't be that much overhead bringing this stuff to light. So why the fuck do you continually... refuse.
Maybe it's like a drawn out suicide.
Okay.
They're trying to ruin their own company.
Or they still wouldn't make sense though.
Hate the past. They need Rafiki to tell them to learn from the past and to look back. But and also when you really forward.
And one of these things I've found so many times is when you look into this, it's not that they're opposed to making money. What they're most of the time opposed to is taking a smaller share than another right holder. Most of the times these things are held up because of, the original right holder would be entitled to 50% of the sale of it, just like Nintendo would. But Nintendo wants 60%. They want the original right holder to cut a little bit off of their end.
This seems like a perfect segue for GoldenEye.
Okay, there you go.
Have you, did you hear?
I did hear that it was coming to Xbox now, eventually.
And the Switch.
And the Switch.
So the Switch version has online multiplayer. The Xbox does not.
Oh!
Yeah, so just that announcement alone made me think... All right, how fucked up had negotiations gone? We've been speculating for years.
Yes.
Nintendo and Rare have to both be butthurt in some way to not make this happen beforehand. And any kind of... Or EA was tied up in it too, right?
Yeah,
with the new James Bond license. Yes. So I'm sure that it was a convoluted process, but at what point do you not figure something out? And... for them to finally be like, hey, it's coming to two consoles with very different... Because on the Switch, it's just going to be on the 64.
Okay.
So it is original thing plus they're working it online somehow. But then the Xbox version is going to be cleaned up like all their others.
But is it going to have couch co-op or multiplayer?
Yes, it will have local multiplayer, just not online.
Weird.
That is interesting.
That is very backwards.
It's like the brattiest kids at daycare. Just like complete refusal to share.
Because they refuse to share.
Single child syndrome for video game companies.
So even if there is like a huge demand, just because, so like to tie this all back into Marvel versus Capcom 2, if I may. So a lot of problems with the re-release of it was at the time Fox still had the rights to the X-Men and certain characters. Disney had everything else in Marvel. And of course, you know, Capcom was the company that made the game, right?
Wait, who did Fox own?
Spider-Man.
Just because, because of their,
and
I
Sony,
realized they owned it.
Sony has Spider-Man. So,
but yeah, that's why the X-Men and Spider-Man were on Fox.
Yes. So, but since that time, it's like Disney is consolidated. They now own the rights to the X-Men. They still own all rights to Spider-Man except film and apparently video games. So it's one of those things, until Disney buys Sony, I will never have that available on my, I don't think I'll have it available on my Xbox or, you know, PlayStation. Now I'm hoping my ability to make a prediction and then immediately be proven wrong takes effect here. Like I've had with so many other games recently. So I hope it gets announced, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Do you guys think any lessons were learned throughout all of this as far as, like, asset negotiations and, like, using stuff on a certain platform? Especially with as much as everything's blowing out externally, like, we are quickly approaching something, a format worse than cable.
Yes.
Where every single thing, I would be surprised if like 20 years from now, Spider-Man is its own network and channel, and like everything is gonna splinter in such a way that
I will say, yes, companies have certainly learned about this due to demand and things like that. Honestly, Disney's acquisition of Fox's entertainment division was motivated 95% by being able to get the X-Men back. And they got bonus stuff of getting The Simpsons. They got bonus stuff of getting, you know, all the Fox's television shows and things like that.
Borger.
So they could have it. Yeah. So they could do that. But they also knew, like, the reason we had to do this, I don't think that they wanted to initially do that type of purchase just because it gets them closer and closer to being like a media monopoly, which could, you know, raise other legal issues. But it was like, look, we can't have our assets of certain characters divided amongst all these people. They've still unfortunately got a problem with Spider-Man. You know, they've been playing nice with Sony, but their overtures of purchasing those rights back have been vehemently opposed by the Sony Corporation. And this is all because a long time ago, you know, you're talking about the rights, Marvel was in desperate straits and they signed these rights out to these movie companies for basically pennies on the dollar of what they're worth now. But yeah, so I think everyone going forward will most likely probably, you know, tighten up their rights. Like, a lot of the reasons some of these other things aren't available is because digital distribution was not a thing until, you know, what, 15 years ago? Like, really available? So, classic TV shows and their creators and the families that still own those rights, yeah, they might have had a contract for TV reruns and stuff like that, but digital distribution? Nope. So that comes into the whole thing of like the negotiation between the company rights holder and some other rights holders. And unfortunately, sometimes they can't agree. Like, I'll give you a real famous case right now. So since we're coming up on Halloween too, Friday the 13th, there was a recent legal decision that stops any and all future Friday the 13th media from being produced or resold or something like that, because the original writer of the screenplay for the very first Friday the 13th, despite the fact that there's been like 10, 11 movies afterwards, mm-hmm. has now made claim to the character.
Oh.
And so it basically stops any and all. Like, there was a video game that was real popular. They had to stop making characters for it. They had to stop basically supporting it because the rights of that character in that game are now up for grabs between two different people. And yeah, just people's greed will kill something a lot of people enjoy. Hey guys, Josh here. So at this point, things got a little bit out of control. We're picking back up in the episode where it's safe to do so. Sorry for the interruption. Like I said, and so then I told the guy, hey, buddy, your car was on fire when I got there.
Whoa!
And your grandmother,
whoa!
She shouldn't have mouthed off like that. Oh! That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, anybody got anything else to say about any games they played or anything like that? Or are we ready to wrap up this episode?
I don't think anybody.
I'm ready to wrap up. Next time we meet, I will have played Overwatch 2, and I will be bringing news of this.
Oh, wow. You heard it here first, folks, so look
forward.
She's already on her second pack, so I can tell that she's chomping at the bit.
She is. All right, well, we'll
cigarettes. Second pack of cigarettes.
All right, well, we'll call it here, folks, and we'll see you next time. Bye.